You are listening to Notes on Refuge on Intuitive Public Radio.
2018, October 2nd, 8:20 a.m. Max writes, "Brave warriors saving lives near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania need your help. Adventurers, superheroes, keen compassion, deep courage. Please install Telegram Messenger to aid our friends with severe sensory disabilities and join this group to coordinate with us for your own nourishment and on behalf of the safety of others immediately. intuitive.pub/adventurer."
I wonder if I made a list how many it would be things that are countdowns to my death, where if I run out of a thing, I will not be able to save my own life. But it's not just one thing like that, it's a lot. It's a lot of things like that. Like a kind of soap that I've been trying to get for weeks, asking people about. If I do not have it, I cannot do these medical protocols, emergency, every day, multiple times a day. And it's almost out, but it's not just almost being out, it's knowing that I've been running out of it for weeks, and it is one of the things that can more easily kill me. So there's a clock on that soap, and there's a clock on medicinal foods, and there's a clock on emergency interventions. There are so many if we count them. I am practicing breathing and all of the little yogas in my body. And I'm thinking about how many of us there are in situations like the ones I've been describing. My friend Elena is in situations like these. My friend Mishan is in situations like these. Mago and Morgan. My friend Azin, and trying to help her, my friend Brendan. There are so many of these people, so many that we would think we cannot hope to mention, but we also seem to be building infrastructure that helps all of us get mentioned easier. Part of our major solutions seem to be collaboration in public. Gratefully.
Yes, collaboration in public is an important part of the solution, I think, as well.
We need Professor Gladwell's tipping point, and I think we're almost on it. Anyway, we better be.
Mago writes, "I believe I've been a victim of gaslighting. This means that individuals in my family are convinced and are trying to convince me that I'm crazy. I have reason to believe that my sibling or someone else in my family went behind my back and said things about me to the rest of the family. Not sure what was said. Not one single member of my family called to check on me during the hurricane. I texted the one remaining family member who I thought would listen and did not receive a response. Emails to other family members not receiving replies. Grieving heavily. I feel like a war survivor. I have no more family. I loved my family very much. My heart is broken. I have significant mold sensitivities, and my house now has fairly bad mold post-hurricane. As of now, I have nowhere to live, although I am lining up a number of possible options. The local government is going to do aerial spraying to kill mosquitoes, and I get very sick when exposed to pesticides. My car has sprung a leak and now is starting to show signs of mold as well. Meanwhile, the NCDMV has threatened to suspend my driving privileges because they somehow learned that I have cardiac arrhythmias, miscellaneous disease or impairment, mental health condition, and respiratory disorder. I have not had any tickets for 4 years or more. I only drive when I know I am able. I depend on my car for groceries, medication, and doctor's appointments. The only mental health condition I do justifiably have is complex PTSD, which you would have too if you were in my shoes. The post-traumatic stress disorder was triggered by an abscess I had on my back that was about the size of a doorknob, which was terribly mishandled by the ER at the hospital in Ashe County, and which led to visits to 2 ERs and 3 hospitals, along with surgery. Now I no longer attend ERs, period, and I avoid going to the doctor as often as possible. While in New Mexico, I entered a consensual relationship which very quickly became non-consensual and led to molestation and stalking. I had to go to the police and to a domestic violence shelter for counseling. I survived by doing several hours of meditation every day and by starting neuroplasticity programs. My copay for the one medicine that helps me the most is $600 a month. Meanwhile, I can no longer afford the high rent for my hurricane-damaged house. I suffer nausea and vomiting, hot sweats, tremors, and sometimes at night my legs threaten to buckle under me. I risk anaphylaxis or itching and hives if I eat the wrong thing, or even if someone wears perfume or cologne. When I was in Las Vegas, I went to the Center for Infectious Disease, where I was told that my immune system was so impaired I would need IVs, IVIG, to survive. I was unable to tolerate the IVs. They created a condition similar to anaphylaxis. Yet here I am. I survived, and I plan to continue. I am not alone in having had the experiences I've endured. There are many, many of us out there. One friend lives in her truck and is quickly running out of money. She has a master's degree in English and garnered excellent reviews for her teaching, but she can no longer work because of her health. Another has just left her home, which has mold, and is going to be living in a tent in someone's yard. She is suffering terribly. What is being perpetrated against us by the healthcare system, insurance and pharmaceutical companies, doctors, the media, and our own families and friends is horrific. We are known as medical refugees. Don't think for a minute that the word discrimination only applies to attitudes people have about African Americans, American Indians, LGBTQ populations, or women. The discrimination against people with Lyme, chronic fatigue syndrome, mast cell activation, and mold illnesses, along with other illnesses like lupus, is rampant. Please help us fight ableism. Though some of us don't make it, the reason others of us survive is because we have each other. We, medical refugees, call and text one another to keep ourselves going and to help buoy our spirits. Many of us are bedridden. Some cannot tolerate light and noise. Some have seizures or blackouts. Most of us have tremors and muscle fasciculations. And yet, people continue to turn their backs on us. We're told we don't look sick or that we're psychosomatic, though many of us have medical records to prove these labels wrong. People are casually dismissive and will say things like, "You just need exercise," or "You look great," or "I get tired too," when in fact they have no idea what they're talking about. Numerous relationships fail and end in divorce, or people lose the understanding and empathy of family members they so need. We have to be warriors and push through seemingly insurmountable odds. Pushing for us becomes a way of life. For those of us who don't have caregivers or family members, every day is a matter of pushing hard to get simple things done. Things which most people take for granted, like cooking, doing dishes, sweeping. We alternate between feeling humiliated and proud because we know how hard we have fought to stay alive and to navigate the tangles of bureaucracies, paperwork, and the medical system. Ours is a hidden yet increasing nightmare that grows below the surface of most people's cognizance or awareness. Yet it is happening to more and more people as governments and individuals continue to use chemicals and pesticides which oversensitize our bodies, over-triggering our immune systems. Please think of us. We are the canaries in the coal mine. Help us be the warriors we know we are by fostering awareness of chronic Lyme disease, ME, myalgic encephalomyelitis, and the numerous ailments that accompany these diseases. We refuse to remain invisible any longer. We have voices too. We are artists, writers, educators, and musicians. We once had lives like yours. We had loving families. We played sports, and we had jobs. We have been robbed of our abilities to do these things, yet our diseases lack the credence given to more common ailments like cancer or heart disease. I am a cancer survivor. I had surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. Yet, I can tell you with absolute certainty that late-stage chronic neuro-Lyme and co-infections is much, much worse. Somehow I and many of my friends have managed to soldier on. We have brief glimpses of what it feels like to have some energy. We still enjoy art, music, and nature. But our families and society persist in refusing to recognize us and our illnesses. What we endure is like a trial and imprisonment without due process. Everything we took for granted or thought we knew has been turned on its head. I am telling you now, you don't know what you don't know. People are so facile in their thinking, so eager to judge and to impose their belief systems on us. They either feel sorry for us, want to fix us, or ignore us and wash their hands of us. Yet we are here. We refuse to be taken for granted. We have voices. We have stories. you will see.
One thing that I think could help a lot is to find more of the people who are out there who are struggling with these issues and learn more about them. We know quite a bit about the people that we are in personal communication with, but there's so many people out there with environmental sensitivities and illness and other chronic illness, and all of this often interacts in confusing ways. So many people have not even also been diagnosed or found anyone who takes their conditions or symptoms seriously. And even if they do, even if among people who have found others, there's still not a lot of information in one easy place about who's out there. There's a lack of research.